Welcome to the Grab Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
It's just me.
It is.
Just the two of us, you and I.
Just the two of us. No, I won't do that.
Drinking beer right here in this room.
That's just right.
All right, so obviously Wells has moved.
Yeah.
And Jeff and I met to discuss kind of the future of the show, and obviously we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
We're going to probably move to what, remote, like maybe once a month, you think?
Yeah, you know, the thought is... you know, maybe we do, you know, two shows in person, two shows remote. It's not that I don't mind, you know, the effort, because at this point I've been doing it for 12 years.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but, you know, at the same time, like, you know, there's some thought of, you know, trying to lump Wells in remotely or maybe some previous guests and whatever. And so maybe it causes us to, you know, readdress and change and grow in a good way. And if it doesn't feel like it's working, then we'll probably bail on that and get back to in-person or whatever. But I mean, yeah. You know, I always tell people when they get all excited about the show, and I'm just like, well, first off, you know, we're not that good.
First off, don't.
Second off, out of the all four people that listen to us, you're one of them.
Exactly.
But you know, I mean, it's less a, you know, we're out here trying to make something of it, and more of a, you know, it's an excuse to hang out and do a mini bottle share every 2 weeks. And,
yep.
You know, it's, even though for Josh, you're not actually getting out, it's, you know, for me, it's good because otherwise working from home, I'll just stay at my house
For,
you know, 3 weeks straight. And
well, and you know, even though I am not leaving, I am not talking to the dogs or to the other person that is in this house with me constantly. I actually have another person to talk to. So even if I'm not leaving, it's still beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll keep things going and nothing, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves.
That's
so,
right. I mean, yeah, with that being said, you know, going forward, expect probably more remote shows. Also expect that we'll probably have some rotating people in person, too. You know, we don't really know the future yet. Jeff and I had a really good talk. And
a month ago when Wells said he was leaving, we're like, all right, we got to figure some stuff out. And then a month later, we haven't started.
Yep, we just kept kicking the can down the road.
We have the framework of a plan. That's what's important.
That's right. That's what's important. So speaking of a framework of a plan, we did actually go out and
we did
hit up Divine and Triple C.
Yeah, I mean, it's like maybe it took Wells to get out of town for me to get out of my house more often. But yeah, we... yeah, Josh and I were like, let's get together and we'll figure out a strategy. And we're like, okay, great. I'm like, let's go to Divine. So we went to Divine Barrel. Bubbles Through the Ice is so freaking good.
Especially with your special little deal and you get the giant pint of it.
You know, like they've got this thing and it's like $25 for this little keychain thing and it's for life.
So I was going to ask, is that your lease? Just for life?
It's for life. You can buy it. It's on the little rack with their stickers and everything right there on the counter. It's $25. And so then whenever you get like a regular pint, they go ahead and upgrade to a mug. I'm like, this is great, you know? And then, So we had a couple big tall glasses of Bubbles Through the Ice. Man, it was so good. The weather was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Absolutely bonkers.
And it was gorgeous.
We're sitting there, it's getting about 1 o'clock, and Josh is like, hey, do you want to go someplace else? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I could, like, let's go check out how Heist is looking. But I'm like, full disclosure, if it's busy, we're passing. And Josh is like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Josh doesn't like crowds.
No.
And sure enough, we start pulling just like within eyesight of the place, and you can see people parked on the street. And I'm like, nope.
And then we saw a bunch of tents, and we're like, super, like, nope.
Nope, nope. So, you know, then the genius idea is, well, let's just shoot across uptown. We'll go to Hot Fly until we realized there was a Charlotte FC game.
Oh, God, yes. I forgot all about that until you just mentioned it. Yeah, we were in FC hell crowd trying to get anywhere and then bailed on that plan and just said, fuck it, let's go to Triple C.
Yeah, went to Triple C. Man, and again, like, got a little nervous. We pulled in and, like, it was packed outside.
Yep.
Inside,
it was completely a ghost town.
Quiet. It was fantastic. Got to sit and hang out and have some snack and saw Ryan and talked to him for a little while. And we've got some beer for the next show, actually, that we picked up at Triple C. Some thanks to Ryan, some out of our own pocket.
That's
so,
right. And speaking of Divine, you went to their 7-year anniversary.
Yeah. I was going to say, so that was, you and I went out the previous weekend. Then I went this last weekend because it was Divine's 7th anniversary. They had two new IPAs, which we'll have here in a bit. they, as best I can tell, they did like the same recipe, but made one or the same hop schedule.
Okay.
One's hazy, one's West Coast.
Okay.
So super fun there. They also had this beer called Viscous.
Okay.
That was an Imperial Stout that had been in maple bourbon barrels for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
It was, I was nervous because.
Yeah.
3 years is a long time.
Yeah.
It was thick. It was chewy. It was viscous. It was well balanced. Man, it was excellent.
So it wasn't like overly maple-y?
No.
Okay.
I was very nervous.
Yeah. Three years. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to assume that maybe after a couple of years, like you get all the maple out of that barrel you're going to get. And I know with like, I'm trying to, was it like Maple Jacket? I think Revolution did that 1 year. They added extra maple syrup.
Right.
So maybe without that extra maple syrup in there, it helped out. But it was just, it's an excellent beer. I'm sure it'll be on tap for a while because it's not the kind of thing you go and have like three pints of, right?
Yeah.
But check it out. Yeah. Congrats to Divine Barrel on 7 years, which is wild to say.
That is crazy. I can't believe they've been open that long.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Wow. Yeah. But no, another beautiful weather day, sat inside, had some pizza from Great Wagon Road that was excellent, and just a good set of Divine Barrel weekends.
Yeah, sounds like it. Absolutely sounds like it. I will say that I have spoken to the other person that lives here, my significant other, about me actually getting out of the house a little bit more now that we don't have Wells Brewery hopping all the time, because it's a lot easier for me than it is for you. Just distance wise, right? Like, I'm 20 minutes away from pretty much anywhere in town, whereas you are 40 minutes away from getting to half of town.
I'd say I'm 40 minutes away from 20 minutes away.
Yeah, exactly. So my thought was, I'm going to try to start scooting out to some of these places that I haven't been to. Like, I haven't been to Lenny Boy in forever, and I really like that place. And they've got good food. They've got good beers. So we talked about doing that. And
yeah.
She loves the Hopfly Blender stuff, so
Gotta go there.
100% want to get her over there. And so I think I'm going to start actually trying to get out a little bit more, sadly. But
well, you know, it's easy, I think. So for like you and I, we've been doing work from home before the pandemic.
Yes.
So like for us, this is just kind of our comfort zone.
Yep.
And I think we get into the spot where it's just easier.
It is.
To not go out.
It is.
And there are times where like, you know, like I've got a handful of things to do. I need to go out, or I could just kick the can down the road and do it in a couple of days. And that usually ends up. And then that was Sunday. And then I ended up doing like way too many things. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm tired now.
Well, and I mean,
old man tired.
Not only that, but just the overall fact of like, it gets expensive real quick going out for beers. Like,
yep.
I look at what I spent in between Divine and Triple C that day, and I'm like, whew. Now, granted, I got some take-home stuff, and it wasn't just tap room stuff, but I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Where I could just go to the bottle shop and spend that same amount and get a case of beer. And, yeah. So,
yeah, but it's not the same.
It's not. And that dumb logic came into my head as I was looking through my banking account going, man, I could have just went to Common Market and just, yeah, whatever.
Which, you know, going back to the whole, like, I'd rather just stay home sometimes. Like, you know, you could have gone to Common Market and not have to gone out at all or gone out for a very short amount of time, and then you're done.
Yep.
And I've gone through that logic in my head, too, where it's like, I just, maybe it makes sense for me just to, you know, go someplace, you know, and this is where the buzz comes into play, right?
Right.
Well, they're just a couple minutes down the road. I mean, maybe they don't have everything that I'm necessarily exactly looking for in this very instant, but they've got most of what I need, and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
This episode not brought to you by Common Market or the bus. All right, getting into the news. You found this story, and I was very fascinated. What's going on at Heist?
Okay, so some months ago, Heist had a kitchen fire that spread through part of their restaurant. You know, caused a lot of damage, as fire tends to do. And so they've been in the kind of like cleanup rebuild mode for the last several months. And there is a cleanup contractor that they had used that is now suing them because they have not been paid, which, I mean,
to the tune of $300,000.
Yeah. Which makes, I mean, like, so number one, that's a lot of money, and I get it. But on the same token, like, I got to believe that insurance is stroking those checks and not Heist directly.
Right. Yeah. You know, just just kind of knowing, even going through like health insurance claims and shit like that, they will drag their feet forever and ever.
Yeah. I mean, insurance companies are there to make money and keep money and not spend money. So,
yep.
You know, it really comes down to who your adjuster is as well. I mean, that can make a huge difference, but
that's true.
Yeah. I was not surprised to see this. It's kind of a disappointment, but you know, they're probably barking up the wrong tree. Unless, you know, this is the type of thing where, you know, Heist got a big check cut up front and then, you know, they had to outsource their own stuff. I mean, I don't know. Well, in theory, this was something I saw like a week ago. And of course, at the end, it's like, we'll keep you updated with more. And I'm like, no, you won't.
Yeah, no, you won't.
No, you're lying.
There's nothing here.
You have about as much follow-up as Stephen A. Smith has, right? And of course, he's getting like $100 million.
It's insane how much money.
Not as bad as... Well, I guess that's... No, he's getting over 4 years, whereas Sam Darnold just signed 3 years for $100 million for the Seahawks. And I texted Scott, and I'm like, hey, congrats on spending $33 million a year to not go to the Super Bowl.
That's right. To choke in the playoffs.
Guy had some generational talent around him in Minnesota, couldn't figure it out. So I'm sure you'll do great.
That'll go great. But back to Heist.
He hates me now.
Hopefully... You were right that this is maybe a ploy to try to get insurance to pay out, and insurance is dragging their feet. And I hope it's not more nefarious, like you said, and they get that lump sum and they just didn't pay. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Always hard to tell. You don't always have all the information. But for those that have been following the Heist story, and I had heard from someone that they're expecting to open in a couple of months.
Okay.
So maybe there's some of that, too, like holding that over their heads for all we know.
Because, they've been closed down for, 6 months at least? Maybe even
more? It was
more?
The summertime. I want to say, we may be coming up on a year at this point.
Okay. I know, it's definitely been a minute for sure. I know I got a little tight in the pants when the story started making the rounds. Did you get tight in the pants?
Yeah. So there's a place in town currently that pretends to be this... like diverse collection of breweries all under one roof.
Yes.
It's called the Brewers at Yancey.
Yes.
But if you really do some digging, you don't even really have to do some, but you do a little bit of digging, you'll find out that it's all breweries by Artisanal Brewing Ventures. So it's Southern Tier and it's Six Point and it's Victory and it's the other one. There's a fourth one.
Is there? I always thought it was just those three. Anyways, but yes, it is. It is not a collective like you want to think it's a collective. It is literally, here's our store.
Yeah. So we saw a news article slide through about a new, you know, breweries, you know, joining underneath one roof. And we're like, okay. And then we saw who the breweries were and I got real excited. It's Divine Barrel. It is Heist. It is Dissolver. And then from Winston-Salem, Incendiary.
Yeah. I'm like. Talk about some big swinging dicks from some of these places.
Yeah, like, I'm like, could y'all not have brought like Zillicoa in while you're at it? I mean, like, you know,
right?
Like, can we just get all my like current favorite breweries like all in one spot? You know, and then, yeah.
This will be really, really cool. It's basically gonna be like stalls. So each one of these breweries will have its own stall. You know, of course, it all still being interconnected in one giant building, but this isn't like. The brewers at Yancey, where you walk in and it's a tap room of all of these different. Well, each one of these is going to have their own distinct tap room, which is awesome.
Yeah, because like brewers at Yancey, you walk in and it's a restaurant. I mean, you wouldn't really be able to distinguish it from like a regular kind of like a restaurant kind of tap room where you walk in. There's tons of seats, you know, tons of tables and stuff, and then there's just like a shit ton of taps that are all right next to each other.
Yep.
Whereas this will be more like if you're here in Charlotte and you've been to like. Maybe the Optimist Hall, you know, where you have like different vendors that all have a different space, probably not to that size, but I did see somebody on Reddit dragging the renders of the building because it is pretty
millennial gray.
Yeah,
it is. They will also have a fifth stall that will have like cocktails and wine and NA stuff, you know. Obviously, trying to suit everybody. There's going to be food at this place. Like, I am super pumped for this to open.
Yeah, I'd be excited to go, like, once the initial excitement kind of spins down a little bit and you can go in and actually enjoy the whole place. Like, I think that'd be a lot. I think it's a great idea, and I love it.
Yeah, and supposedly, at least according to this article, it's It is expected to open in May, so we're not very far off from this becoming a reality.
Of course, it's Charlotte, and then when, you know, approvals and all that kind of stuff comes through, it'll probably be like August. But still,
I mean,
moving right along.
The fact that you can now have even more fresh Dissolver and Incendiary just right there, that's really kind of cool.
And what I'm excited, especially for those two, is to get to try more of the stuff than just the things they can and send down here.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like there's some... We had the bottle share at the Buzz a couple weeks back, and they had Dissolver had sent this. I think the way Grant was talking, they were the only place in Charlotte that got these cans, and it was like an Imperial Stout in great brandy barrels with cherry pies thrown in, and then extra cherries, and then like cinnamon and nutmeg, and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I remember
this. Sea salt, and it just tasted like a chocolate stout when you had it. Like, I was just like, it was kind of disappointing, but I'd love to try more of, like, I've had Dissolver's, you know, clean beers and some we've had on the show. They're fantastic.
Right.
So I'd love to see the same with Incendiary. Get a little more than just their hazy IPAs.
Yeah.
Their West Coast is down here. I've had their chai stout. But yeah, excited to see more.
Yeah, totally. All right. Last but not least, Molson Coors is doing something a little scary.
Yeah. There was a point I wanted to make in this story. That's why I put it in there. I don't know. Did you read this one?
I did.
Okay. Then go ahead.
So
and scroll a little bit. I need to find my, I had a point I wanted to make.
So Okay. So the short version of this is that Molson Coors has figured out how to extend the shelf life of their beer. So typically you're looking at like a 2 to 3 month Best Buy date, and they're claiming now that they're going to be able to expand this up to almost 18 months for a shelf life for a beer.
Yeah, that seems like a...
That's scary.
That's a choice.
Yeah.
Now I will say, like, I really believe that quietly more breweries are looking to do this. As there's more competition on the shelves, as things are getting more expensive... you know, we're seeing more breweries play around with thiolized yeast, which I think helps things stay a little more stable.
Yeah.
But you know, the point that I wanted to talk about is exactly kind of where you're at, Josh. So, you know, what's your, you know, like if you're at Common Market and you're date checking cans, what is your max date you're willing to buy?
If it's an IPA a month.
Damn.
Yeah. Like if it's older than a month, I typically don't trust it because I feel like stuff's going to start to fall out.
Okay.
Other things, of course, I'm not going to be as picky. Like if it's just a run-of-the-mill pills or something like that, I'm not going to be as picky. 3 months, and I was a little wrong on my numbers. I want to go back really quick. Okay. So it's 23 weeks of what they're going to be able to store. not 18 months.
A little different.
So 23 weeks is how long they'll be able to store these, which is still quite some time. And
yeah, well, they're called, I guess today they're assuming 18 weeks. It's still okay. Which,
yeah.
I mean, once, not that, you know, we're in the habit of going and buying Miller Lite, but when's the last time you date checked Miller Lite?
Yeah, that was well before. I wasn't date checking back then when I was drinking that stuff.
I got to believe that for a product like Miller Lite, you know, unless you're just like at, you know, the random dirt mall gas station, odds are they're cycling through it enough that it's not a big deal. But,
well, and I mean, not only that, but you go back to, are you really losing that much if you're drinking an old Miller versus like if I'm drinking an old Snapa, I know what I'm losing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, those alpha acids and the hops and all that brightness drops out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my kind of rule of thumb, depending on the beer, some I'll let get up to 90 days and it's not the end of the world. Because sometimes I can't be super picky.
Right. No. Totally.
But yeah, I mean, it's... But I mean, even there, you're talking about, you know, what, 12 weeks, and they want to push it out to 26. Now, and again, you know, if it's, and I'll pick on Dissolver or Burial for that matter, if it's one of their, you know, lagered, pilsner, you know, type beers, like, I'm not so worried about that.
Right.
That can sit out there. If it's in the cooler, like, I'm not too worried about it. But, yeah, like a hobby beer, whew, that gets scary.
I mean, absolutely. And you know, too, I guess it's a good problem to have for Common Market, but most of the time they're turning shit over so quick that I mean, even if I tried to find something old in there, I probably couldn't.
The only way you're getting something old in there is
it got in there.
Yeah, the distributor dropped off an old case of something and nobody date checked it when they were putting it on out and you know.
Exactly.
I feel bad for, you know, places that you know, they get screwed over by their distro, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Or, you know, when you, like, the Teeter that used to be really goddamn good and had a lot of amazing beers now doesn't. If I am buying anything in there, I am date checking any of it.
Oh, you got to.
Because I, who knows how old that stuff is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, but even the local stuff I will give a pass to, honestly, because, well, let me rephrase this. If it's Triple C, I give a pass to it because I know that they're the ones that brought it.
Yeah.
Divine the same way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand that they're going to try to give the freshest product they can.
When it's a decent sized enough brewery that, you know, has actual bodies out trying to make sure that things are good, that's one thing.
Yep.
You know, when it's that brewery that suddenly starts showing up everywhere in cans and,
yep.
you know, you're like, I don't know that I've ever even been there or had any of their stuff or heard anyone talk about it. Like, that's when I start getting nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing, this article actually does go into a little bit of detail, and I mean, obviously it was before my time, and I'm sure it was before your time, but I remember the name Schlitz.
Oh, yeah. I remember Schlitz.
So it actually goes into something I did not know, is that Schlitz at one point was so big, they were competing with Bud.
Wow.
I had no clue they had gotten that big.
Wow.
And then they kind of like what Miller Coors is doing is they started monkeying around with the recipes and started doing some things, and it hit the brand to the point where people just didn't trust it anymore. And so this...
And it became known as shitty beer.
Yep.
Which, you know, is a real shame, but also, like, you know, the problem with capitalism, the one problem... I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you're making a product and your margins kind of plateau.
Yep.
Well, how do we make more money? How do we do more with less?
Yep.
You know, and then you start cutting corners. And, you know, we've seen it happen with, you know, a lot of these crap breweries that have been acquired, you know, by AB InBev. You know, they did it with Goose Island.
Yep.
You know, with the exception maybe of Bourbon County Brand Stout, a lot of...
Which Goose, they still fucked up. Remember all those infected bottles?
Which, I mean, whatever. But they moved production.
Yes.
And you know they're not making it the same way. And they don't have the same care. And they don't, you know... fuss over it like
312 or whatever isn't being handcrafted in Chicago any longer.
Nope.
It is being factory produced somewhere in New York.
312 named after the area code in Chicago.
Yep.
Now being made in New York.
Yup. Exactly. But like I said, this is actually one of those good articles that VinePair puts together sometimes.
I like the history, almost like a mini doc.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this is. Because like I said, it really gets into the fact that, you know, at one point Schlitz was so big that they could have potentially taken down AB, but they started doing shit like what Miller is doing here. And this could potentially turn Miller into a Schlitz, which is where they kind of go with this article of this could work or this could be a real disaster.
I mean, it's weird, you know, like for you and I. Like, I'm just looking at the floor over there, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, a dozen plus different beers.
Yep.
And the average Miller drinker has their standby that they buy by the suitcase.
Yep.
And they're going to be able to tell you when the recipe changes.
Yep.
And it's not going to go well.
Yeah, and you're 100% right, because, you know, me as a promiscuous drinker...
You are a bit of a slut.
If I ever get the same beer more than once, that's rare. That's a good sign for me that I'm actually...
Also, the brands that you like don't hardly ever make the same beer twice.
Yes, that is very true, because, yeah, there's two other halves in there, and there's some other shit in there that... You're exactly right. They barely make that stuff. And unless I'm going to, like, that Harris Teeter... And, you know, honestly anymore, if I'm buying anything over there, it's Sierra Nevada stuff because I know it's going to be fresh.
Yeah.
And I don't trust the rest of it.
Yeah. No, I get you. Unless it, you know, and again, we say this a lot, especially around here, when it's something seasonal and it shows up for the first time, I'm usually pretty comfortable with that.
Yep. Yeah. Like when you see a celebration, you know, oh, it's celebration time.
Oh, it's celebration. They bottled this in August.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But, you know, it'll be interesting because... Like you said, if all you were drinking is this one style of beer and they go and change something, you're going to know.
100%.
And you're going to give feedback. So.
I mean, there is a what I'd call a legacy beer in this market that I believe that the majority of the recipe is the same, but I think they're trying some different yeasts, and I can tell.
Yeah.
And a beer that I used to buy a pack of and crush through, I'm not as excited to drink like I used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
what it is.
Even in craft, you can tell.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for break?
I guess so.
We'll be back in 30. It's time for Buy Don't Buy. I'll explain how it works.
This is going to get real old real fast.
Yeah, right?
It's just me and Josh.
Pretty simple. We've been drinking beer throughout the show. We use a very simple scale. It's a 1 or a 0. We will buy it. We will not buy it. Sometimes you can donate beers if you ever want to. Hit us up. Contact at craftbeercast.com. It's probably the easiest way. Or Facebook. Or Twitter if it's still alive. It's apparently been DDoS to death today. So.
Oh, no. Yeah. Anyway.
That's right. So, Jeff, what's our first beer up?
First beer up. So both of these are beers that I picked up at the Divine Barrel 7th anniversary. This first one is Lucky Sevens, a West Coast IPA with Citra and Alani. Both of these beers, I guess, have the same hop schedule, but this is the West Coast, and then we'll get to the other one, which is a hazy here in a second. But, man, I had this on tap there. And what was it was great, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had like Bubbles Through the Ice and a Bird Law and Moving to Montana was out as well. And me and Tim were sitting there talking about it, and I'm just we're like trying to rank them, and they're like they're just all really good. They're just all really good. So if you like a Divine Barrel West Coast IPA, you will like this beer. It has my wholehearted endorsement. It's a big buy for me. Josh, by the way, I moved you on the list.
Oh, yes, you did. Yeah, I agree with you. And it's one of those things where it's like, there's a lot of shit that Divine puts out that I just trust.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
This even may not be for me, but it's still going to be good. This is 100% amazing and delicious and amazing, and I love it. So, yes, that is a big, huge buy.
Quite good. Quite good.
All right, next beer up. And final beer up.
Yeah, next and final beer up. The Haze Always Wins. This is a hazy IPA with Citra and Alani. So again, you know, similar. This is like 6.6% as opposed to the 6.5 of the last one. You know me, I'm not a big fan of the hazies.
Right.
I really like the experiment of having them side by side. I feel like that's super interesting and super compelling. That said, they both came out at the same time. I'm buying one. I'm not buying the other one. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
This is a great beer. If if you like hazy, it has a lot of those normal like haze, like orange juicy kind of notes.
Yes.
But I feel like the hops are still like there's enough hop bite in it to keep me interested. But you know, why would I pass up the West Coast?
Right.
When the West Coast is there. So it's a very good beer. It's a very good beer. But I will continue my staunch. No hazies. Thank you, sir.
No hazies.
Josh.
I mean, this is, of course, delicious. And it's funny because when I think hazies, I don't always think of Divine. I think more West Coast and stuff like that. I know they can do a hazy because I've had plenty of them from them. But like that, to me, is where I'm always thinking like Resident Culture or Hot Fly or... You know, to a certain extent, Burial, even though they don't make their stuff here, but still. Those are the places, like, I know I would go if I was on the hunt for a local hazy. This absolutely... Heist. How could I forget Heist?
Yeah.
This absolutely slaps.
But what I love about this, too, is, like, this is... Like, I know Divine doesn't love hazies.
Yeah.
I know they would rather just make...
West Coast.
West Coast and clean beer and all that kind of stuff.
This holds up.
It does. Like, I would never have... My expectation was that this beer was going to be excellent, and it is. the point I was going to make is, like, even as a hazy, and I think it's even, like, listed as a... Yeah, it's, like, listed as a New England. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, I don't know about that. It's, I mean, it's a pretty light haze in there, but,
yeah,
you know, it'll do.
It'll do. No, so, and when I say this holds up, I mean against some of those places, like,
oh yeah, for sure,
a heist or resident culture, like, absolutely. This but
their hazies has always been good.
Yeah,
if you like hazies.
Yep.
And so yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for I Tap That. It's pretty simple. Out of the two beers that we had,
yeah,
which one are you going to put on your kegerator? I'm pretty sure we know where we're both going
to
go.
Yeah, well, and you know, for those that are listening, and if you're listening to Buy No Buy, like, thanks. We Josh and I talk a lot about whether or not anybody even cares about this segment, but.
Yeah, you know, it's okay.
You know, yeah, at this point, we've been doing it for so long, nobody cares. Or maybe everybody cares. It's hard to say. You know, again, we've got four listeners, and you're one of them. So thank you, listener number 17. Everybody else has fallen off. You're probably thinking, like, wow, two beers, that's it. You know, and the reality of it is, without having Wells here...
A third liver, period.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of hard to justify. I mean, like, this is... I'll have a couple of pints over the course of... You know, a couple of hours, you know, and I need to make sure that I can get home safely. So
yes, 100%.
That's part of it. But yeah, I'm totally tapping that West Coast. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm totally tapping that hazy. Come on.
Which I think makes perfect sense. Like, I feel like they put these beers out just for the two of us.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way.
Hey, guys, watch this.
I kind of wish I would have said, you know what, get me another 4-pack of this, but oh well.
Yeah. Just have Wells pick you up. Oh, right.
Yeah. I wonder if these are going to hit distro.
Man, I don't know. I kind of doubt it, but
yeah, who knows?
Anything's possible.
Yeah, you never know. Well, anyways, we're at the end of the show. Where are we at?
Come check us out on the interwebs. Go to crapbeercast.com. Find links to old episodes. Our Patreon, if you want to support us that way, is at patreon.com/craftbeercast. Contact at craftbeercast.com over email, honestly, is the best way
yes.
to get a hold of us, as the, you know, marketing people have learned. not that they've learned their lessons well. I mean, it's just like a, you know, like, oh, hey, you know, I love what you're doing. We'd like to promote this infographic about, you know, the most popular macro beers in every state. And I'm like, first off, we did this episode. Yeah, we did this article in an episode like 5 episodes ago.
Yeah.
You're just scraping Untappd like everyone else.
Yep.
Also, like, why do we want to talk about the most popular macro beer? That seems kind of weird, but.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not our lane.
Hate mail at craftbeercast.com. If you want to be mad at us, that's fine too. Josh. You're not anywhere. I'm not doing anything. We're both like,
yeah. The social media world has like, I was hanging out with some buddies that, you know, I sadly just don't get to see all that much, but I've known them for 2 decades almost at this point. And we were talking about that. Like, you know, when I deleted my Twitter account, it was like life changing. Yeah. Like, I don't have to deal with this anymore. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah. No social media, but you can hit our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. Don't forget to rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice.
Yeah, hopefully Reddit doesn't paywall our subreddit.
Oh, God. I'm so
you don't have enough people. We're going to put it behind a paywall.
I am so terrified about the future of that platform.
Well, Dig's coming back, so. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Where's Fark?
I know, man. Give me some Fark. Let's go.
All right. We'll Florida talk to man. You all next Thursday.